Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad. Thank you for joining us, all you sweet-smelling listeners out there in internet land. We are the Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games. Browse the collection of thousands of games for you to keep as long as you want without worrying about late fees. Then, when you're done, just send it back with the postage page envelope for a new one, or pay a lot less than in-store prices and keep it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. That's Gamefly Video Games Delivered. And now, with all the business out of the way, time for jokes! Yeah, I'm looking for a party, but I just can't seem to find one. Justin, do you have any ideas?
Hit it!
Pilot Party!
Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based on only the first episode. Why only the first episode? Because if you can't do it right the first time, I don't care. So, you know the show Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Put it in a Walmart-esque setting and you have Superstore.
Okay.
Set in St. Louis, Missouri, we follow the employees of Cloud Nine, a chain of big box stores. As the show begins, we take a quick tour around the building, culminating with the job interview of Jonah by assistant manager Dinah. Think Ron Swanson, but female. She's clearly smitten with Jonah, and she's asking personal questions such as, "Do you have a girlfriend?" And, "You're heterosexual, right?"
Wow. Highly inappropriate for any interview.
Yes. And he even asks, "Are you legally allowed to ask those questions?" No.
All right. Well, at least she knows.
From there, we move to the jewelry store department, where we find floor manager Amy, who is selling cubic zirconium knockoff engagement rings to a guy complaining about that the $8 rings are gone, and now they're pushing the pricey stuff. By the way, the pricey stuff is $10.
That actually tracks.
Yeah. As Amy goes on break, she meets Jonah, who doesn't know she works there, and while trying to impress her, comes off sounding like a jerk. He then finds out she's the floor manager, and his foot is inserted even further into his mouth. Over the course of the show, we see Jonah unintentionally cause one problem after another, such as marking down all the electronics to 25 cents, when he should have marked them down 25%. An honest mistake, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The dude with the cheap ring shows back up and tries to propose to another employee, Cheyenne, who he, quote, "knocked up and his dad is making him," end quote. This romantic moment is interrupted by... Yeah.
No. Did they pull these stories from Carlinville in Illinois? I think I was there for that one.
Maybe. It's not too far from St. Louis, so it's possible. This romantic moment is interrupted by Amy trying to save Cheyenne from a lot of heartache. The day moves on, and Amy and Jonah begin to make amends, where she says that there's no use to being fun around here because every day is just like the last. It's a good job, but it's the same. As night falls and the store begins to close, an armed gunman shows up and says that he's going to start killing hostages unless Cheyenne marries him. Yes, it's Ring Boy again. he and his buddies start a flash mob style dance routine where he proposes again. Dinah, who's watching all of this on the security cameras, thinks it's truly an armed robbery and calls the cops. She also flips the store's main breaker, you know, hostage style. You know, you cut the power and the, yeah. When she does this, it reveals that the ceiling is full of glow-in-the-dark stars. Apparently, Jonah has spent the last several hours putting them up to impress Amy so that it wasn't just, quote, another day. Cheyenne agrees to marry What's-His-Face, and he's arrested. The episode ends with the employees celebrating her engagement in the parking lot before several of them go to put mannequin limbs in the dumpster to scare the trash guy. This is a fun show. Not really exciting or revolutionary, but fun. The characters are interesting and the acting is good. Now for my predictions. Clearly, Amy and Jonah will get together, then break up, then get back together again, then break up, then hook up while they're still not together, then eventually have a battle to the death to see who will be the Cloud Nine Employee of the Century.
That actually tracks.
I give it 5 stars. No, wait. No, they just marked everything down. Now it's 4 stars. You can't beat a deal like that.
4.97. It tells you that it's a floor deal.
Yeah.
That's a manager special there. It won't be around long. Oh, wow. That has me excited to actually watch that. I've scrolled past and been like, do I really want it? I don't know. Ah, damn. Now I think I got to at least watch the first episode.
Well, yeah, that's all you got to.
I mean, come on.
Okay.
Mannequin limbs in the dumpster?
Well, they don't show that, but they allude to it. Mm. You can watch as many episodes as you want. I'm contractually bound to just watch the first one.
Right. Of course. I understand. So we don't have a whole lot of movie reviews this month. So, guys, I got a question.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, we did a Geek Cave chat on The Muppet Show showing up on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole thing. So here is my question for you. Pick a movie. Any movie. Keep one human actor and the rest are Muppets. Go.
The Blues Brothers, but Carrie Fisher is the human.
Nice.
Nice. I have one terrible one and one serious one. Which would you prefer?
Both.
Yes.
Okay. The terrible one, Caligula. keep the Emperor and everyone else is... Yeah. And the serious one, Die Hard, replace everyone but Hans Gruber.
Alan, okay. Yes.
Okay, okay.
I've got another one.
Yeah, I'm listening.
The 80s miniseries, It... But keep Tim Curry as the human.
What if you did 89 Batman, but you replace everyone but Alfred?
Why do I get the feeling that that would work?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it totally would work.
And not just 89 Batman, every Batman.
Yeah, just leave Alfred.
Just leave Alfred.
Just leave Alfred alone, yeah.
Michael Caine, he's got experience with Muppets.
This is true. Yes.
He does, yes.
Jeremy Irons should.
Yes.
Oh, that's glorious.
The Empire Strikes Back and keep Yoda.
I appreciate what you're doing there, but I did say keep one human actor, and Yoda wasn't human.
Keep Billy Dee Williams.
Racist you are.
Speciesist, actually.
Speciesist you are.
Speciesist. Because, like, my joke answer was going to be alien, keep the alien. But it falls into the same thing.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Does it also have a little Muppet that pops out of its mouth?
Yeah, it should. I say if you're going to keep Sigourney Weaver, then it has to be Sam Eagle, you know, as the alien.
Yes.
But then when he opens his mouth, another tinier, more American Sam Eagle comes out, like with American flag wear, just going like, you know, took my jobs.
What if you did the first Michael Bay Transformers? You replace everyone, including the Transformers, with Muppets, but you leave Shia LaBeouf alone.
That actually probably makes it better.
Yeah? Okay, fair.
Probably makes it better. So my spouse said Alice in Wonderland, keep Alice, which actually sounds
fair.
Like a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'd watch that.
The one of the number one answers that I saw on the internet was The Great Gatsby, you know, where you keep Gatsby or something like that. I don't remember, which I don't know you saw Gatsby all that much, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I only read half the book and said life's too short for this.
Yeah. Army of Darkness, and you keep Ash as the human.
Mm-hmm.
And so later when he's fighting himself, it's a Muppet version of himself.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that's not Ash.
Yeah, well, it's evil Ash.
It's evil Ash, but that's not, you know, Ash, period. It's a different character.
Mm-hmm. Titanic, keep Kate Winslet. And don't change any of the scenes.
Just this Muppet furiously scribbling on paper to draw her like a French girl. And
well, and you know, like the steamy scene that everyone knows. And yeah, yeah, everything stays the same. It's just a little bit different now.
Would it be funnier if we swapped it and kept Jack? So that during the steamy car scene, it's a Muppet hand that hits the window.
And I was going to say, keep the viola player from the band.
Okay, I'm picturing like if we're doing Titanic, the iceberg also has to be Muppet.
A Muppet, yeah. It has
eyes and a
eyes.
Mouth, you know. Look out. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just giant Sweetums sticking up out of the water.
The Swedish chef as the iceberg.
Yeah.
Fluger, fluger, fluger. Oh.
Fluggity gurgity. Fluggity gurgity.
Bork, bork, bork.
You replace Jack with Peter.
Me, 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 me. Oh, that is awful, terrible, and wonderful all at once.
There you go.
If the Disney Corporation is listening to this, please make this happen. You probably own the rights to Titanic by now.
Well, they own James Cameron, so, you know, chances are.
James Cameron, yes.
So, Terminator 1, keep Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or Terminator 1, keep Linda Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
And then figure out, you know, I want Kermit as the Terminator. Kermit doesn't get to play the bad guy very often.
This is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Kermit, like, I'm looking for Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'll be back.
Come with me if you want to live. Yay!
All right, so a second question, just because I've been filled with questions lately. Just random, weird, stupid questions.
I've been filled with tacos, but go on.
Well, you're welcome. The second question is childhood cartoon that deserves to be, you know, republished. You know, that not necessarily like DuckTales where they remake it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like Ninja Turtles where they keep rebooting and just making darker or weirder or whatnot, but something from your childhood that gets picked up and dropped wholesale onto TV now. And TV, not Disney Plus, not Netflix, not, you know, the idea is like, okay, this is a thing that you get one a week, or if you got like a Disney afternoon kind of thing, you know, you get one a day.
Yeah.
The Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
Ah.
By Disney. I don't know why this, I don't think it ever got a home release. It's on Disney Plus,
and
that's kind of how I've been rediscovering it, and I think it would still work.
I introduced it to my son a while back. He enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it would work.
Because, like, my answer is Saber Rider.
Okay.
Which was a knockoff of Voltron, you know?
Yeah.
Like a Japanese knockoff of Voltron. And then just bring
you
that.
You realize that Voltron is a Japanese knockoff of Voltron.
Yes.
And it's a Japanese show.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A knockoff of a knockoff.
Yeah.
You know, it all fits. But because it was a knockoff, I don't think it got the love that it deserved.
Yeah.
So.
The World of David the Gnome.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
There's a deep pull for you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That, man, that took me more time than I want to admit to realize what you were talking about. Whoo!
Trolls and wizards and fairy kings, birds that talk and fish that sing. And if your heart is true, you can find them too.
Samurai Pizza Cats, because if stuff that runs on Cartoon Network now gets a pass, that should be fine.
That is... Yes. Wow. That's...
He's not wrong, folks. I couldn't finish Samurai Pizza Cats, and I've seen some of the stuff on Cartoon Network these days, and he is not wrong.
I love Samurai Pizza Cats, and I will defend it to the death.
I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm just saying it's not for
I know.
Me.
I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm just saying it's a bad show.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm saying it's a bad show.
That's we could discuss it, but we've done that before, so I'll let it go.
I do like the discussions on it, though. The discussions are funny. I've actually not seen any of the episodes. I was not privy to such things.
You know, Chad could be the tiebreaker here. I've got it on Blu-ray.
Oh,
what?
God.
Yeah.
When
I've got it on Blu-ray.
From him, he had it on DVD, which means he's purchased it twice.
Well, there was a tornado.
Was that before or after the tornado?
I don't remember, but I would have bought it twice anyway. I really like it.
Yeah. That tracks.
All right. Oh, I guess I do have at least one review. The History of Swearing, which is on Netflix.
Yes.
Is great and terrible for all the right reasons.
Yes. I've seen the first episode and I agree.
You know, it's got actual experts that are talking about the history of language, specifically curse words, cuss words, swearing, what have you. But interspersed with them are also comedians and writers and public speakers, people who use language in a public sense, kind of explaining how things work for them and how these words affect them. All hosted by Nicolas Cage, who seems to be either playing a more intense version of him or he's just really upset about having to be there because he's the only one of the group that seems to not quite be in on the joke. Like, he's taking it just that little bit too serious.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make the show bad. The show is still very good. And I recommend I watched the first two episodes, so it's not a pilot party.
No.
But I think that in terms of if you're interested in language, if you grew up on the George Carlins and the, you know, the comedy of that style,
the Richard Pryors, the Eddie Murphys,
then
you know.
By all means, you know, go into the History of Swearing. It's goofy and fun.
Yeah.
Other review, you can find it on YouTube, or if you've got access to BBC, it's on like BBC 4 or something. It's a game show called Taskmaster, which is five comedians or TV personalities that are set with weird tasks. It's a game show.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how much I've laughed watching this show without just going on for the next 10 minutes of laughter. It is British in the best sense of a British, you know, a British game show. The humor is that just on the border of too mean, but since everyone's laughing, it doesn't feel nearly as mean as it is.
Like when we pick on each other, but we're all laughing at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
In our best times.
Yes.
But in terms of a couple of extra reviews, I want to throw those two out because what I'm about to talk about is not nearly so funny. Do you guys have any other reviews?
I have a brief review. Transformers War for Cybertron, the second season, dropped on Netflix. And it's really well done, the storyline kind of follows the fall of Cybertron, that kind of thing. You really get a nice look into the relationship between Megatron and Optimus Prime, and Megatron kind of comes across as this, you know, rebellion leader who's in over his head, and it's a really interesting kind of take on things. Also, Optimus Prime does some stupid things, because sometimes the good guy does some stupid things. So I highly recommend it, even though there was at least one point where I'm like, Prime, no. Prime, no. And it's almost like the writer said, Prime, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, well...
Oh.
Yeah?
Actually, one more thing.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
So I mentioned James Cameron earlier, and that just got me thinking. Did you know that James Cameron originally wanted O.J. Simpson to play the Terminator?
Huh.
Yeah, that was a thing that they explored, but he ultimately said he decided against it because nobody would believe that he was a killer.
Turns out he was right.
That's all.
Huh. Kent?
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
Well, I rolled the dice, though, as we've learned this week, it won't necessarily mean that we get to keep the result. But next month should feature Julie and Julia. Dearly beloved, I would adore the opportunity to speak to you on Pride and Prejudice, which the dice indicated I should have watched this month. However, as fate would befall, when I went to watch it, it had been removed from the Netflix.
Aw. Mm.
And so I re-rolled the dice and came to the movie Apostle. Apostle, a British movie, did what not too many movies have been able to do to me. I was surprised. And I don't know if it was intended to be as it is, but this is not a single movie. I caution you, not a single movie. It is at least two separate movies connected by a single story. And while the first movie is a delight of British tension and horror, the second half almost made me turn the goddamn thing off at least three times. Maybe four.
But who's counting?
So the story is a man's mission to retrieve his sister who's been kidnapped by a cult. All right? And the sister's being held for ransom by the leaders of said cult who need the money so that they can continue supplying the island and the cult's adherents with the necessary animal sacrifices to maintain the island's prosperity. You with me so far?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, cool. The movie is this slow plod that for the first hour you will insist, you will be convinced that it is a reverent homage to the Wicker Man. An outsider shows up on what purports to be an idyllic island, only to discover that something is amiss. What that is remains unclear for quite a while. Standard horror film stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Very, you know, what was the second in the Cornetto trilogy?
Oh,
Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz,
yes.
You know, there's something about this village that's off. There's buildup of tension, and we learn a little bit more about what's going on. You know, we learn a little bit more about our main character, Thomas. It's a cult. They do cult stuff. And then at the midway point, the leaders of the cult realize that Thomas is not who he says he is. You know, Thomas was supposed to be the one to bring the money for the ransom. But he swaps tickets with a guy so that they don't beat him up and or kill him. And they end up killing the other guy who was an actual adherent to the cult. And Thomas escapes from them. Not off the island. Like, he's in a tunnel and he goes through like a drainage pipe in the tunnel. And that's when the movie takes this sudden and decisive turn to the crazy. When a strange witch woman suddenly chases him out of the cave. Right?
Okay.
And here we learn, finally, that there actually is a supernatural presence on the island. You know, it's not just culty madness. There actually is a supernatural force. And Thomas, in trying to hide away from the cult, confides in one of the residents that seeks him out that he's only there to find his sister, and then he wants to leave. He's done with this. And to gain this person's trust, he basically talks about his past. He was a Christian missionary during the Boxer Rebellion in Peking. And during that rebellion, he was branded on his back with the symbol of the cross. A scene which we are shown, by the way, in case you ever need to know what a branding does to human skin. And she shelters him for a while until things kind of draw them back to the village. Because the leader of this cult has two companions, and those two companions begin to fracture apart. Things are stressful because the island's not being as, you know, fruitful as it once was. And this is exacerbated when we find out, so the two companions, one has a son, one has a daughter, and those two have hooked up. They've had a thing. Things are not allowed in this cult.
Uh-huh.
They've had a thing. And now the girl thing has a baby. Well, not yet. But she's pregnant. And there's where I wanted to turn things off. You know? This is the point about 90 minutes into the movie where I'm just like, nope, no, no. I could handle the branding. I get it. You know, I don't think we needed to see it, but I get it. But the killing of the daughter by the father in a forced abortion, I didn't need to see that.
Mm.
The killing of her paramour by the same man who drills into his head.
Oh.
With the kind of drill that you use to, like, drill out doorknobs.
Uh-huh.
I didn't need to see that.
No.
The spears going through the faces of some guards. Didn't need to see that.
Oh.
Our hero's hand getting ground up and removed by a meat grinder.
Oh.
What? Didn't need to see that.
What the hell?
The feeding of dead bodies to the witch woman, who it turns out's real and is actually a spiritual guardian of the island. Didn't need to see that. Oh, by the way, did you forget about that part? Because I forgot about that part in this half hour of madness.
All that happened in a half hour?
Yeah, about.
Holy crap.
Yeah. See, when it comes to that spiritual guardian thing, the cult leaders trapped her and they force feed her blood to bring prosperity to the island. But it turns out she's kind of pissed about being held against her will. And so she's actually poisoning the food of the island and the animals from within. Think nature goddess.
Hmm.
And then the last thing that I'm glad it was in the last like 10 minutes, because the guy who killed his daughter and his daughter's paramour, he is gutted when he is stabbed in the chest with a knife, and then a couple of women that he was keeping chained up wrap the chain around his neck and pull him while our hero holds onto the knife and the knife gets drugged down his body.
Oh.
And that's me leaving out the part where there's hooks and stuff being, you know, put into people's hands and legs and eyes. That leaves out the part where the residents are bled with knives in the arms. That's leaving out all that stuff. And so here's the real kicker. What makes this movie a surprise? Because it's not that stuff I just talked about. That's uncomfortable. It's ridiculously uncomfortable. And there's parts of me that I'm just willing the director to take a step back from where you're going. It's like, no, oh, no, don't, no, dad, no. And he didn't listen. No, the surprise is that the movie's good. The surprise is that it's well acted. It's well directed. The story is compelling. And even though it's slow, the mystery that's kind of tied into all this is brilliant. You know, because as soon as we think we know what the rules of this world are and what kind of movie we're getting, it changes. The universe of it is crazy, and the movie wants us to know it. But at the end of the day, I get to create a brand new rating for the random movie review.
Oh, boy.
This one is conditionally be like me.
Huh.
Conditionally. If you're turned off by gore, stay away. If you want to see a British horror movie in the grand tradition of the genre, yeah, go for it. You know, don't expect it to be particularly happy. Don't expect it to be comfortable. It's massively uncomfortable. But it's really good. And the main character, Thomas, played by Dan Stevens, in a just world, he would be offered the role of James Bond, in my opinion, just based on this movie. Because he as a character is right on this edge of somebody who is extremely hurt and extremely dangerous all at once. And it shows through brilliantly. I would much rather have talked about Pride and Prejudice. I think there's a lot more comedy to mine from that. I can't mine comedy from something that made me want to turn it off because of the discomfort and anxiety I felt watching it. I'm not that talented yet. Give me time. I'll watch a whole bunch more of these, and eventually I'll just become desensitized to it, kind of like I was for Gaspar Noé's Love. You know, after about a half hour of that, it's just like, you know what? Let's do it. Just like everyone else in this movie. So that's what I got. Conditionally, be like me, with all of those asterisks and footnotes that were thrown in there. And unless we have anything else, guys, all right, remember to check out our other stuff on YouTube and thegeekcavepodcast.com. All of our shows will be there. Check out our sponsors, Gamefly, Shirtosaurus, and other than that, for Kent Harris, majestic as the mountains, Darren Wright, as strong as the river, Justin White, peaceful as the forest, I'm Chad Savage, as nurturing as the desert. Thank you for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.